Hey everybody, welcome to JMac Fixes Everything. I'm Jamie Pollock from RoyalWise.com. Welcome to the fifth episode of JMac Fixes Everything, or The Switcher, we were calling it, making the switch from Android to Apple. This week, Audrey and I finally begin the conversation about transferring photos and videos from her old Android to her new iPhone. We also have our first person on the street interview of another switcher and ask them why did they switch. We discuss sharing photos and videos through text messaging and defining what a blue message means as opposed to messages that turn green. Then I go over backups versus syncing data, storing the master copies of our photos or our other data, cloud storage versus local storage, and recovering from natural and maybe not so natural disasters. This is followed by the idea that learners don't really know what they don't know, and we do know what you don't know, and also the fact that growth or learning can be kind of uncomfortable and painful, so how do we deal with that? Ultimately, I break down the Apple Universe's built-in process of using the iCloud photo library on multiple Apple devices to achieve our goals and how it simplifies the entire process. And then finally, Audrey accepts my challenge to go watch the iPhone, iPad, All the Basics course, and then a next episode she's going to come back and report, did she learn anything and was it worth her time? So we're super excited to have you here with us, and we hope you enjoy this episode of JMac Fixes Everything. This episode of JMac Fixes Everything is brought to you by the Northbound Coffee Roasters. Northbound Coffee Roasters carefully selects the finest certified organic coffees in the world, roasts them to order, and ships them directly to your home or your office. Northbound is family-owned and operated out of Mount Shasta, California since 2011, and it's run by my good friends Keith Hamrick and Jen Lovrack. You can buy it by the pound. They've got a great monthly coffee club you can join. And also you can get deep, deep discounts available on bulk orders of 2 or 5 pounds. And the shipping is a $5 flat rate, no matter the size of your order or the location. So head over to their website and order online at northboundcoffee.com. That is northboundcoffee.com. And use the coupon code ASKJMAC5 for 15% off your first order. That is ASKJMAC5 for JMac, fifth episode. Go ahead and use that coupon code to get 15% off your order. I want to thank Northbound Coffee Roasters for being our first sponsor, and we hope you really enjoy this episode of JMac Fixes Everything.
Hey, Siri. What does JMac fix?
JMac fixes everything.
Coming to you from the Owl's Nest Studios in Portland, Oregon, it's JMac Fixes Everything, where we answer your tech questions and discuss all things Apple. For valuable, actionable, real-world Apple advice that you can count on, look no further than JMac Fixes Everything. Now here's your hosts, Jamie Pollock and Audrey Isbell.
So hey everybody, welcome. I'm Jamie Pollock. My company's RoyalWise. Find us online at RoyalWise.com. Another episode of switching from Apple to Android, from Android to Apple. Oops, I said that exactly backwards.
Whoa, dude.
Making the switch, the switcher. I've been changing the name every week. So now we're switching from Android to Apple. Audrey's with me like always. Hi, Audrey.
Hi,
how are you doing? How's it going?
It's going great.
Wonderful. So I did a little research on a couple things that I got to kind of just follow up on from the last episode or the last conversation. When I asked, is it Android to Apple or Android to iPhone? That question. Android is an all-encompassing term. It talks about the software and the hardware. So when you say Android, you kind of know it's an Android phone and you know it's the Android operating system. And so if I say iPhone, then I'm not talking about both. If I say Apple, I am. So I think the correct term is Android to Apple, because it's this full platform package to this full platform package. Would you agree that that's probably right?
You're the expert, but yeah, it sounds right to me.
Well, it's either that, it's going to be that or Android to Apple iPhone, which is kind of redundant. So I don't know if that's the thing. Another correction, just because I always want to make sure that I'm correct, or if I'm wrong, I'm willing to admit it. As I talked to another Android person who switched to somebody who we might sneak into a later episode and said, yes, Androids did and do occasionally have SD cards, a slot for your SD card, not a SIM card. And I had a SD card in my phone for storing my photos. I could just pull the card out and pull the photos off of the card. I made the bad assumption that it was a SIM card, and it's not. That Androids do have a SIM card for cellular service and then a micro SD for swappable hard drive space, which is completely alien to Apple. Like iPhone never has had it, never will have it. Right. And so there's
like
some
the smallest floppy disk on the planet.
Right. Yeah. And then for our audience members that don't know what a floppy disk is. So when you're in Microsoft Office, there's the save icon. That's still a floppy disk, looks like a floppy disk in Word. Right. But then it's funny because the younger kids don't know what it is. Like, that means save? Why does that little icon mean save? Because it's the shape of a floppy disk. They don't know what that is. And also, was it a 5 1/4 inch or a 3 1/2 inch? You know, because floppy disks used to be big and floppy.
Right.
And then they became small and hard plastic. And so even the term floppy disk isn't quite accurate for what they were when they ended. Anyway, let's check in with Audrey. How are you doing? How's the iPhone? How's the stuff?
It's good, actually. I spoke to a friend of mine recently who has decided to make the switch for security reasons.
Yay!
And of course, you know, my husband being, you know, the wonderful helper that he is like trying to give them tips and whatever. And I'm like, oh, no. You just need Jamie. you just trust me on this. You need Jamie.
WWJD. What would Jamie do? That's what we like to hear. Well, send him my way. I'm happy to help. But
it's wholesome training. It's start to finish, right?
Take some classes. We'll start publishing this series, and they can watch this and learn a whole bunch of great stuff for sure. Well, I want to start off with something this week. I had a great experience with. My furnace was being serviced. And so Jason from Sunset Heating came over to service my air conditioning and my furnace and made a comment that he had switched from Android to Apple a few years ago. And I interviewed him and asked him to share his story with me. And so let me get this up here and I'm going to show it to you. And then that's going to kind of kick off our conversation for today. So hey, Jamie here. I'm with Jason from Sunset Heating and Cooling. He came to service my furnace and my air conditioning, and he told me that he switched from Android to Apple a few years ago and had a very specific reason why. Why did you switch to Apple, to iPhone?
My reason being was my kids were in competitive sports. I would take video and text video to family members that couldn't make it to the sporting events, and the picture quality downgraded. I'd have to trim the video, and then when I switched to the iPhone would send perfect quality, same quality as I was filming. People could see it, not seeing a fuzzy version. And that's why I switched. The media is way better on an iPhone than an Android.
There you go. And you said you weren't sure if they ever fixed that or not.
Yeah, I don't know. I looked into it at the time. It was an issue with Android that never fixed.
And so it was a known issue you could search online and find. Right.
Exactly. And after I switched, you know, I'm so happy with my iPhone, I'll never go back to Android.
That's what we love to hear. Thanks, Jason.
No, appreciate it.
So there you have it. What do you think about that?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I can totally relate. I can relate to that in a huge way. My husband would send me videos all the time. His favorite capture would be like a rare bird that hit our bird feeder. And it would always come in to my Android all pixelated and just a teeny tiny mess. And he's like, did you see the thing? And I'm like, yeah, what are we excited about?
But what you're talking about there is he was taking the video on an iPhone, then sending it to you on the Android, and it was showing up funny.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things is Apple just recently, I think 2 years ago, changed their compression from regular like JPEG compression and MOV compression to HEIC and HVEC. Compression, which is, and I was last week, of course, I was saying how Apple's open source and not proprietary. I don't know if these are, I don't think they're proprietary compression formats, but they're superior. We're getting much better compression for video and photos when you're using the Photos app and you're using the Apple camera natively. But when you share or export, they've got to convert to MOV or convert to JPEG so that they're universal because other platforms don't use HEIC or HVEC.
Wow.
So that's actually something that's more advanced, and it's something we're dealing with in the Apple world, where occasionally somebody will send somebody something and it will be the wrong format. You'll download it without converting it and it'll be the wrong format and it won't work. You know, but Jason's issue was he would record it on the Android, send it to the Apple people, and it would just always be fuzzy, he said. It would just always be pixelated and fuzzy.
So it was actually in reverse happening.
For him, it was he was on an Android and he'd send it out to other people and it didn't look good.
Wow.
And so he said now that he's gone to Apple, it's and you know, you hear me almost every week. I say apples to apples is one thing and apples to oranges is another. Videos, we'll just mention this real quick before we jump into your questions and what we want to solve for you this week. Videos get big. That video I just took of Jason was 1 minute and it was 128 megabytes,
Okay.
right? So I'm not emailing that to anybody, right? Over
Right.
5 megs
Pretty
and
large.
over
Yeah.
5 megs and emails complaining, but I could text message it to anybody because text messaging doesn't care. Specifically, if you're using Apple the Messages app and you're using iMessages, which is Apple's Wi-Fi based message sending system.
Okay, what's the difference?
What's the difference? That's hey,
Oh
that's why I love having you here to ask those hard questions.
like, okay, everything that you just said, I'm like, I don't know what that means.
Traditional text messaging is called SMS. SMS text messaging, cellular, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, right? And it actually stands for Simple Mail Sending Protocol, Simple Mail Sending. And so that's on your iPhone. The messages that turn green are people that are not using Apple's iMessages system. They're using an Android device and it's coming in through your AT&T or Verizon or T-Mobile cellular service. So
Okay,
traditional
yes.
text messaging
People
services.
noticed when I changed to an iPhone.
Right?
People were like, "Oh my
If
gosh,
you get a message
you're an iPhone."
and it
Like,
turns
what is
blue, right? The blue text message bubbles
going
means
on?
it's coming from an Apple device, coming onto an Apple device. So basically, the blue messages are sending from Apple to Apple through what's called the iMessage service, Apple's iMessages.
Okay, so
And
blue is another iPhone, green is an Android.
blue is apples to apples, and green is anything but, as
Anything
everything
but.
else.
Okay.
Right? So blue is apples to apples, and green is apples to oranges. Now, we'll just use my terminology that I keep drilling on. And so if it's a blue thread and you know it's apples to apples, then I mean you could send a gigabyte video and it would eventually make its way through because it's going over Wi-Fi and uploading to the messages server and downloading to the other phone, and we're not getting dinged on like an email server where it's like, oh, within 5 to 10 megabytes, I'm going to be like, ah, too much, I'm going to reject your message. Right. Now, the problem we run into, and I think we've mentioned this once before, but I think it's what people suffer from, is messages has never been good at compressing video or compressing photos. And so when you text message somebody a photo and it turns blue, it's apples to apples, it's full size. It's like the whole 5 megabyte file. It's the whole 7 megabyte file. It doesn't compress it down to the 200 kilobytes that most sending, like a photo that you send should go down to under half a meg. Like you don't, on a tiny screen, you don't need that high resolution. You don't need all that. The file size, right? So like even when you email, you say, well, drop down the size, right? Make it medium or small, or don't send actual size. I don't need to send them a 5 meg file. I just want them to see it. Now, if the other person's gonna like print it, or especially if they're gonna professionally print it, you want them to have the actual size, the full size, and that's why you wouldn't email something to the print shop, right? You're gonna upload it
Gotcha.
somewhere. You
Wow,
know.
and this must be the reason why so many designers are Apple people. At least that was my observation
It's part of it. It's part of
over
it. Apple's
years.
known.
Yeah.
I mean, Apple's known for their graphic ability and their support of graphical artistry. They've always been known as the platform for graphical artistry. I don't think this messages issue is why. You know what I mean? Anybody, a Photoshop file is going to be a gig, 5 gigs. You know, you've got to upload and download that to a server somewhere. You're not going to text message those.
But so much business is conducted on smartphones these days. So I imagine there's somebody somewhere that's thinking, oh my gosh, I use this all the time. Just
Yeah.
didn't realize Apple was making it possible for me.
Well, also for end users, for you as an iPhone end user right now, the thing that I teach people or that I run into when I'm supporting people is like they're running out of hard drive space and they're not sure why. And then I look on their laptop or their phone and I look through what's taking up their hard drive space, and their messages app is like 20 gigabytes, 30 gigabytes. Because they're text messaging videos, they're text messaging photos, And Messages has never been good at compressing those or reducing the size on Send. They send the actual size, and it bloats and bloats and bloats and bloats. Messages isn't the best way to share photos and videos in the Apple universe. It is making an iCloud shared album in the Photos app and putting things into that shared album and inviting people to share that album, you know? And so that the iCloud photo library can manage the compressing and the size and, you know, but people text message photos to each other all the time. That's the way to do it. There actually is a setting now on iPhone in the settings under, I think it's under Messages, where you can say, compress images when I send them. Like, you can actually tell it to do, but for the last 10 years, no. Like, it's just like full size and it just goes crazy. So
seeing it when I try, but
let me jump in there and see if I see it. And if so, I'll bring it up to show it on the screen or whatever. But,
okay.
And it might be, have you upgraded to the new operating system?
I don't know. Okay. I think you told me how to look though. So I'm going to my settings. And I'm finding my little user person.
Nope. You're going to go to settings and then general and then software update.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, I was already off track.
Yep.
This settings. Is a lather, rinse, repeat process, people. I am just saying right now, you cannot just know it once you've heard it.
It's got to be repetitive. You got to do it over and over. So software update, it's going to check. I'm running iOS 16.0. That's the current version. Now, I heard 16.1 or 16.0.1 is out or coming out very soon. I'm not seeing it yet, but I know that there's some bug fixes that have come out.
I have not yet upgraded to iOS 16.
Yeah, well, it'd be a good idea to do it. I mean, there's a couple of cool features. I'm going to be doing my What's New class in 2 weeks, but I edited a text message. I sent a text message. It had a typo. I edited the typo as if we were in Slack or something like that. It was very cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I deleted a text message that wasn't valid because I sent the text, it had a typo. I sent a second text, like the asterisk and then the correction to the typo. And then I went back and said, well, I can edit the message now. So I edited the message and then deleted the second, the correction message. And then it warned me, if the other person hasn't upgraded to iOS 16, they're not going to see all this. Whoops.
Oh.
All right. So it still comes back to, are we on the same operating system? Or are we on the same platform?
So just say that again. Slow down just for a second.
Okay.
My brain, right? Like, that's so if fine. You deleted a message and you're on 16, but I'm on 15.7.
Yeah.
I'm not going to see that message at all.
No, they can't take it off of the other phone yet. So you will have gotten
message. I got the wrong one.
Right.
And you can't remove it.
I can't remove it from your phone because you're not on iOS 16. So it's not on both ends just yet.
You know, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to scroll down just a little bit to get this other thing. I'm going to go to messages and then go to the very bottom here and see where it says low quality image mode.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right. Turn that on. And now all of a sudden Messages isn't going to send a full size or actual size. It's going to lower the quality of the image. Because again, I'm not sending my text messages to people so they can publish my pictures. I just want them to see them.
Okay. You were in settings and then messages.
Messages. And then went all the way to the bottom of messages to find the low quality image option.
And I am not seeing messages under settings. So I wonder if it's different on mine now.
Tell me what it says at the very top of the entire thing in black. What does it say at the top of the screen?
Well, okay. So I was in general.
Right. So you're going to hit the blue left pointing arrow to go back up a level.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You're just not at the top of the hierarchy.
See, because I was checking like if I was upgraded or not.
Right. So that's in my level 2 class, in my navigating apps class. That's what we talk about is like how to tell if I'm at the top of the hierarchy. Right pointing arrows mean go down into, left pointing arrows mean go up out of.
So what you're saying is I haven't graduated yet.
Well, but you haven't even taken
level 1.
Well, take all the basics, take level 1, level 2, level 3. I mean, again, you're not taking the classes. You're just like, I know enough. I'm intuitive. I'm going to make it work. This is absolutely normal. Nobody wants to sit down and take a 2-hour class. They think I can just figure it out and I'm not going to waste my time. But I'll tell you, if you take my 2-hour class, you come out of these 1-hour sessions going, you cleared up so much for me. To the end, I said, how do we do? And you're like, I cannot believe how many different things that I didn't understand you have just explained to me. And I'm like, go take the class and I'll explain everything, like from the foundation up. Right, but nobody wants to do that. But I'll tell you, it'll save you time in the long run. You know, even if you know 80% of the class, you'll get three things out of it that you didn't know that'll change
So
how
if I
you
go
move.
and take those and then I come back to the switcher and I'll be like, oh, no, that's not what my tutor said. And by the way, you're arguing with yourself.
You might maybe you don't even need you don't need the switch. You don't need the switcher podcast or webcast. If you take those classes, you'd already know all this stuff. So yeah,
Oh, you're
you
so
would
true.
ruin you would ruin our web series if you actually went and did that. So never mind. So we talked a little bit about sending text messages, difference between iMessages and SMS, the blue and the green. But really the bigger conversation is photos and videos, how to deal with them. What's their format? And for you and for this topic, it's switching, right? It's I'm moving from Android onto Apple.
Painfully, I just tore off the band-aid and was like, oh my gosh, Jamie, I'm bleeding.
Right. Well, you're bleeding, that's why you put the band-aid on, right? But I tore off the band-aid, my stitches came off with it or something. I don't know. No more scab or something, I don't know. I've got to address another topic that is paramount to where we're going, and you're not gonna like it. I'm reaching for another band-aid. I'm gonna just shred that scab with this conversation. When we first talked about this and you asked me, I said, well, you're on an Android, right? You've got a Google account. Google is the cloud-based service that Androids use so that you can have your contacts and your calendar syncing with whatever other devices that you have. And with an Android and a Google account, you have Google Photos. And so it's the question is, well, do you have your photos in your Google Photos area so they are also syncing in the cloud and saved? And you said, no, I don't trust that. I don't do it that way. And then my question or my response is, of course, okay, so you are plugging in and manually pulling things or importing onto a computer somewhere. And then you're kind of picking and choosing. I want this to come off the phone. I want to leave this on the phone. And so that's a manual process. That's not automagic. I mean,
The
automatic.
magic. Ooh, you should coin that one.
I
That's
have. No, that's a common
good.
term,
Oh.
right? That's yeah, we like things to work automagically. Like
Automagic. I
that's
like
what
it.
we want is automatically technology that's automagic. This is a base philosophical debate on how do you want to use the technology? You know, are you willing to move forward into using the technology the way it was designed to be used? Or you did it this way forever and you just want to continue with what you know and you're not going to adapt and you're not going to learn and you're going to just try to force things into a process
Why?
that you understand?
Oh, why do I feel like this is a trick question?
Well, it's I don't mean it personally. It's not a person it's not a
I
person let me start. Let me back up a little bit. This is not a personal thing. This is not just you. This is human nature. And we keep coming back to that. Our first episode was emotion. How do you feel? Right? Is it working? And how do you feel about it? 'Cause how we feel about technology dictates how we use it. I just had this conversation with my marketing guy. I have a project I should have had done 6 months ago. I've been dragging my feet. We sat down and got it done in half an hour. Right? Because he held my hand. And when I hit a wall, I'm like, well, look, it's this, or this. And now I've got three or four choices. And it's complicated and I quit. And when I sat by myself, every time I tried to do this task, I quit. Too complicated. More than I want to take on. Don't care. Right? But with him there going, oh no, wait, look at this, click this, oh, we'll do it like this. Okay, now you're done. Right? And we got a complex task done in less than an hour because I didn't give up based on the fact that I didn't want to have to learn and or it was too complicated. And so, you know, it's not personal, it's not you, it's everybody. In this specific scenario, you do have multiple options on how photos on your iPhone interacts with your computer. Right? Or how do you organize and how do you store? And I kind of mentioned this is a whole half an hour to an hour conversation because there's literally a dozen different little pieces and decisions and desires and whatever. And the fact that you don't have an Apple computer is just a complication because you can't just use the iCloud Photo Library and have everything on your phone on your laptop. We've talked about that when you go apples to apples, it's designed in a certain way that just simplifies life. And when we go apples to oranges, we've got to figure out how to work. That's the basic point of what I'm pointing out, is that we're going to peel this onion. I'm going to help you through this, but we're taking the hard road.
And that's a hard road.
It's a hard road.
I tell you, in anticipation of this conversation about, you know, where is my data? I started to, you know, again, going back to my Android, like looking through all the photos, where are they? How can I push them over to my iPhone now? How do I get them there? I have so many tools available to me, and I'm not sure which tool is the best one, honestly. We touched on Google Drive and Google Photos and kind of syncing that way and trying to get that then somehow over to the iPhone. But then there's, you know, the Microsoft stuff, mm-hmm. OneDrive and all that. And it's just like one tool after another. And actually, I ran into the issue of, ooh, I think I've got things in multiple places.
Oh man, where's my data? Everywhere, right?
It's kind of all everywhere of and right. It's messy. And so now I'm having to really kind of make some decisions and figure that out.
Yep. Yeah. Ugh. That's So, well, that's apples to apples. Life is simple. All the other things, but bottom lines, you've got a library of photos on an Android device and you need them someplace else that's accessible. Bottom line. In my opinion, a cloud is not necessarily your best option.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that.
Okay. And so we defined this before, but let's make sure that we define it now, because you just mentioned there's all these tools and I'm not sure which is which. Mm-hmm. Google Drive, a cloud, OneDrive, cloud, iCloud Drive. I mean, you know, iCloud Drive, a cloud, iCloud Photo Library, a cloud, right? Mm-hmm. Those are all cloud.
Oh, yeah. Technology. And your cellular provider too. Like they have.
Oh yeah. Verizon will happily to give you a storage area for photos. Comcast. Oh yeah. We got storage for you. Everybody's got storage. Amazon. Oh my God. Amazon's like, hey, we got Prime storage. Wow. Our caveats, what we need to watch out for. What we don't want is for our data to be reformatted as we move them from point A to point B. We want
is that
them
what's
to...
happening?
No, not necessarily, but it can. I mentioned earlier that in photos, natively on your phone in photos, if you take a picture, it's an HIEC, but if you export it, it will be a JPEG upon export. Meaning that the library itself may have one format, but
it's done by function. It's not just
by import export. I'm going to export these photos, and are my settings correct so that they don't get mangled as I do that? Mm-hmm. So the first question that we answer is, where am I going to have my master copies? Where's my big collection? I'm going to tell you what I even tell people in the apples to apples world, but I think it applies here too. Just so you know, in the perfect Apple world, I have a laptop or desktop, got my iPhone and my iPad, and I've got my iCloud area. These are the things that I'm dealing with. I've got the iCloud photo library turned on all of my devices, but I get to choose device by device whether that device is optimized or has full resolution versions of everything on it. So for my iPhone and my iPad, I'm saving space by optimizing the library on the mobile devices. iCloud storage doesn't have an option. You can't optimize that. That's always going to be full resolution. But if I take like a high def 4K video on my phone, it's like 5 GB. After I finish recording it, it will move up into the iCloud storage area and then optimize on my phone so I only have a thumbnail. And it'll free up that 5 GB of space on my phone for me. It will optimize the phone. And when I want to watch it again, I tap it, I wait for it to download, then I watch it. iPhones and iPads, I encourage the configuration of optimizing. On my laptop or desktop, I don't like to optimize. I also buy 2 TB hard drives, so 1 TB to 2 TB hard drive, so I have enough room. I think it's important that somewhere in your home, you have a computer with all of your photos and videos in full resolution, so you have a copy of them with you that's not in a cloud and that's not internet dependent. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I mean by that?
I think I do. And well, I'll just kind of tag on to, I don't know if I shared this with you or not, but my mother-in-law, her house burnt down. She lost all of her physical photos, all of them. So the entire family got together and, you know, put together a Google Drive, whatever, and started scanning the photos that they had, that they remembered she had, they had copies of.
Or the whatever. Things that they got texted or just mm-hmm. anything they had anywhere.
And so right. now we have a resource to be able to print those again. And we've printed numbers of them, and we've been able to get more photos on her new walls, you know, and,
yep.
you know, so it's a big deal.
So here's why. Yeah, this is okay. When we talk about backups, mm-hmm. a backup is different from a cloud version. I have this in the cloud. I have it backed up. Cloud isn't backed up because if I delete it here, it deletes it there. It deletes it everywhere. Cloud's syncing.
Scary. Yeah, exactly.
You know, deletions sync. Mm-hmm. That's not a backup. A backup means I lost and I want it back. Mm-hmm. So it's we do talk about disaster scenarios when we talk about backing things up, and you just had the perfect scenario. Is in my scenario, I have a full resolution version in the cloud of all my photos and videos. I also have a full resolution version on my laptop here at the house. Mm-hmm. And that covers me in one way, which is if the house burns down, if somebody comes in and steals the laptop, I have the cloud version, I buy a new laptop, I download it. Mm-hmm. The opposite scenario is the earthquake comes and the internet goes away for a month and I can't get to my cloud version. Mm-hmm. Maybe the internet goes away forever. Maybe Armageddon, right? So I need a local copy of them too. Yeah. So these two things, and I need them backed up in multiple places too. I need one local backup on a local hard drive that sits next to my computer, and then a second cloud backup that's not a syncing style backup, but a backup. That means I can go back a month and find things I'm missing. Mm-hmm. So we use Backblaze, but like Carbonite, Backblaze, things like that. Right. And so now all of a sudden I've got my Time Machine backup, local hard drive backup. My computer's got a full resolution copy. So these are both full resolution copies. iCloud has a full resolution copy and Backblaze has a full resolution copy. Mm-hmm. And my iPhone and iPad have optimized versions, thumbnails, smaller, right? But mm-hmm. not that I could use to recover from. And did I mention this is a half an hour to 45 minute conversation because of how complex this can be?
Yeah.
And
hold on, I've got to add questions to my questions.
Well, and I just want to make sure that everybody listening and you knows, we haven't even started talking about the Switch. I'm just talking about like how to cover your butt in the Apple world. We're still talking apples to apples, and it's that much for me to train non-switchers. It's that much, and I'm not even done the training. I mean, I've got a 5-hour training course for photos alone. I've got a 2-hour backup class. You know what I mean? There is plenty to know and learn about how to keep your data safe, know where it is, and recover from disasters. It comes back down to this question of where's my master copy? What format's it in? Because when we talk about backups, there's also the 3-in-3 rule. Have you ever heard of the 3-in-3 rule for backups?
Mm-mm.
You want your most important stuff in three formats, or like not like JPEG versus non-JPEG, but I mean physical formats, right? On a CD, on a floppy drive, right? Burnt to a DVD, on an external hard drive. And you want to revisit those formats every 3 years. Because, you know, I had an amazing music collection when I was a kid, mm-hmm. and it was on an 8-track.
Yeah.
And then when that went away, I bought all the albums. And so I got this huge album collection, but then I needed a cassette tape. So I got all the cassette tapes and then I needed them on CDs. And now my laptop doesn't even have a CD player.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how times have changed.
Right? But then I was really into movies. And so I got a VCR and a Beta was the thing. Beta wasn't the thing. VHS was the thing, right?
Yeah.
And so I've got all these external hard drives and I've got all these photo backups and I'm in really good shape because I made sure I've got like great hard drives and they're USB. And now my laptop only has USB-C adapters or ports.
Great. So what's the recommended 3 that you got for me right now since we're talking about it?
Well, I've kind of already talked about, you know, I mean, you've got your master copy that's on the computer.
Cloud.
You've got a cloud backup,
yep.
and you've got a local external hard drive backup.
And that's not the same thing as the computer, or it is?
The computer's the master copy.
Okay.
Right? So that's kind of considered, that is one out of three. Like, that's a copy of it.
Okay.
You've got a second copy on the external hard drive and a third copy in the cloud.
Okay.
Right?
Yay. I'm good. I got
Right? And if you want to
it.
burn it to a DVD, great, but my laptop doesn't have a DVD player anymore. Does yours?
Nope.
You know, like.
Well, my desktop does, but the
But
laptop's not so much.
even to adjust the complexity, letting something like Time Machine back it up so that it's an incremental backup is different from me dragging and dropping it so that it's a
That
carbon
works.
clone type of backup. Right? Like anything that incrementally backs up could blow up and not work. But if I drag and drop it, it's only backed up at that moment, and anything I change doesn't get pulled into it either. So that's a whole nother conversation about that. So let's get off of that part of it, like, right? Backups and stuff. That should be another conversation, but we just had it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're moving slowly toward how do we help Audrey get her photos off her phone and onto her iPhone. That's ultimately what we want to address here. I'm going to very quickly just go through the easiest scenario that I would recommend, and you're going to shoot holes in it or tell me whether it will or will not work in your situation.
Okay.
You are a PC user, therefore, I would plug my Android phone into that PC and use whatever tool Microsoft gives me, which I believe is their Microsoft Images area. And you plug it in, and it says, hey, there's an external camera or drive that's got
Yep.
photos. Can I import them? And you say, import them, and they all come
Got
in.
that covered. Like I, yeah, you're speaking my language.
Okay,
I've done that.
step one.
Yay.
Let's now eliminate that and say that your question is, how do I get it off the Android onto the iPhone? Because it's not on the Android anymore. It's on the Microsoft computer.
Right.
Step one.
Yep.
So now how do I get it from my Microsoft computer
Yep.
on?
How do I put it in my phone?
So the next question comes, this Microsoft computer using the Microsoft Images area is now your master copy of all your photos and videos. So, are you going to be pulling off of your iPhone and putting them in there too? Our ultimate goal is one
Yes.
big library of everything in one place. You know,
Yep.
is that not your goal?
It is, but now I'm like thinking, okay, so we know that these apples.
Hey, everybody, I want you to hear that quote. I'm thinking. I've got her thinking. And that ultimately is a
These
trainer.
apples have these really funny, port,
Lightning ports.
lightning
That's
ports.
called
Thank
lightning
you.
port.
I
Yeah.
don't have all the terminology.
That's okay. That's called a lightning port. Yeah.
But it's, so now I'm like, okay, do I even have a connector for that so that I can
Do
like
you
mo
do you
physically move them
do you
to?
charge do you charge your iPhone? Do you plug it in and charge it?
Yeah.
Where's that cable?
Yeah, I've got it right here.
And is it plugged into a brick like this at the end of it?
Well, right now it's plugged into my battery, this giant battery backup for my PC.
Right, but you can
Do you?
unplug this USB-C
Yeah.
from that, right? And you can plug that into your PC.
Yeah, will that work? It's apples to oranges. But
USB is USB.
it's Apple stuff going into a
Well, okay.
PC.
So this is, yeah. Yeah. So Apple and Microsoft work the same way when it comes to cameras. Okay, and so let me just say this real quick.
This is so confusing.
Oh, now that's USB-C. That's USB-C to Lightning. Does your laptop have USB-C on it?
No, but I think my no.
Okay, so then we're again formatting issue where it's like I have USB on my laptop, but I have a USB-C cable. You should be able to get a cable like this that has USB on the other end that can plug into your laptop. You can get them anywhere. I'll see.
Yeah, I think I
I'll.
have one of those in my truck, actually.
Yeah, I'll send you one.
Okay. No, I've got one. I've got one.
Right.
But yeah, okay.
And
So it's like, I get stopped with this crap.
it's so complicated, I
No.
quit, right? I don't understand that. I didn't explain that scenario earlier at all. It's so complicated, I'm done. Okay, so back to the main point that I don't care if it's an Apple laptop or a Windows laptop. Both of them have the mechanism where if you plug in anything that's got a camera on it, the Microsoft Images or the Apple Photos is going to say, oh, a camera, a digital camera, an external storage device with images on it. How would you like me to handle this?
Got it.
So just like you plug your Android into your Windows machine and it says, hey, There's photos here. Do you want me to put them in the Microsoft Images area? You plug in your Apple iPhone. Guess what the Microsoft Images thing is going to say? Hey, there's a camera with photos and storage. How do you want me to handle this?
Right.
Right. Okay. But. Always there's a but.
Aww.
The complication is if your iPhone is optimizing the images and putting the full resolution on the cloud and optimizing the local ones on the phone to save storage, you may not be able to just simply import them.
And is that what we covered before about low res?
That's the low res. Yep, low res. Well, no. Photos. We talked about messages.
Oh, messages.
The low quality image setting was in messages. That's not what we're talking about.
Oh, okay. It's different.
I'll pull this up and show this to you to make sure you know what we're talking about here.
Okay.
So I'm on my iPhone again. I'm going to go into the settings application. At the very top, I'm going to go into where it says Apple, iCloud, all that stuff. I'm going to go into the iCloud area of this. I'm going to go into the photos area of this. And right here, it says optimize the iPhone storage or keep download and keep originals.
I'm trying to compare my settings to yours because I'm like, do I understand this? Optimize iPhone storage is checked.
Okay. So for you and your situation, if you have a big enough hard drive and you could keep the originals on the phone, then you would always know that you can plug the phone into the PC and just import and delete off the phone. And you've put it into your master library on the PC.
Okay. So hear me out. Make sure I'm thinking straight. I physically plug into this Android, get the photos on my desktop, then I physically plug into my iPhone and get a copy of the photos to my iPhone. They're going to be optimized on my iPhone, but they are going to remain whole on my PC. Is that correct?
Close.
Okay.
But you're already going in the opposite flow than what I'm talking about.
Of course, because apples and oranges are opposite.
No, you're ahead of me.
Oh, okay.
You've got your end goal in mind, and I'm trying to give you a full picture.
All right.
Okay. My question to you, well, so now you see where you can say optimized or not optimized. That's all I wanted you to see in that situation, yeah. Okay?
Got it.
The question that I asked you is, are you now going to take the photos and videos on your iPhone and move them onto the PC so they are in your master library?
Are we talking like automatically that's what I want to have happen? Or just there's
no way to automatically do that because you've already said, I don't want to use a cloud. I want to plug in. I want to manually import.
Gotcha.
So when you were on your Android,
is it too late to say that I might be changing my mind about the cloud?
No. I warned you two or three episodes ago that I was going to be a good influence. You were like, are you going to make me? And I said, no, I'm not going to make you. I'm going to educate you until you know enough to make a good decision for yourself.
Oh, no, I'm fickle.
Well, but this is, and let's address it. This is learning. This is the progression. This is, if you don't know what you don't know, how can you make a good decision? If you don't know something, how can you make a good decision? Mm-hmm. If you don't know what you need to know, meaning you don't know what you don't know. I know. I personally know what you don't know.
And now I know.
Right? Like, I know that you don't know this. And I also know you've made decisions without certain
three backups
pieces of the puzzle.
Now, though. Right? So three backups. One of the three is the cloud. So now I'm like, okay, well, I have to change my mind about all this.
Look, two backups. One master copy, two backups, and one cloud sync. It's a lot.
That's four.
Right. Yeah. So ultimately, you're trying to figure out a flow.
Yeah.
But again, we've taken the Android phone out of it.
Okay.
Because you've already, everything on the Android got pulled down onto the laptop. If you want to now have the discussion, how do I get it from the laptop to the iPhone, we can go straight to that.
Your question is, am I going to then put my photos and such onto the laptop? From the iPhone.
In my opinion, let's go back to some of the foundation. In my opinion, everybody should have full resolution version somewhere in their home in case there is an earthquake and the internet goes away. And if your iPhone is optimized mm-hmm. for photos and videos, the only full resolution versions you have are in iCloud.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's why I showed you.
Complicated.
Right. Well, I told you this. Maybe this is two episodes. This is complicated. Okay. So on your iPhone, you could say, don't optimize. Keep full resolution versions on my phone and put full resolution versions in the cloud.
Okay.
And therefore, I can plug my phone into my PC and just import.
Okay.
And even say import to the PC and delete from the phone to save my phone space. The delete from the phone, the deletion will sync to the iCloud and you'll save iCloud space too.
Automatically?
Yeah. If you import into your PC from your iPhone and tell it to delete upon import, it will delete it from the phone's iCloud photo library, therefore deleting it from the iCloud version too.
Yikes.
You got to be careful. You got to know what you're doing.
Scary. Oh my gosh. Okay. Okay.
So for your situation, I personally, if I was going to use a PC and an iPhone, I wouldn't optimize the photos and videos on my iPhone.
But aren't full resolution copies going to iCloud?
They are. But in this scenario, if you have optimized on your phone in full resolution in the cloud and the earthquake comes and the internet goes away, you are separated from your full resolution versions.
I think I'm following this train of thought. So what I need to do is log into iCloud on my PC and download to my computer.
That's another option. That's one. You have two options. One is to keep full resolution on your phone and then just plug it in and import like you used to from your Android.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Right? Your second option would be, yes, go to iCloud.com and download out of the cloud. Mm-hmm. But then you've also got to download and then put where they belong and then go and delete. And, you know, it's a lot of steps. Okay. Now, in the same sense, to get your photos that are on your PC now onto your iPhone, you have one of the options is to go to iCloud.com and just push them up into the library and they'll sync back down to your phone.
Yeah, that's what I need to do.
And that might be the easiest and the quickest.
It's definitely one of them. One of the things that I need to do, because like I said, when I'm sorting through this, I'm on my couch and this is funny because, you know, looking over at my husband, he's like, oh, you got an Apple ID? And I'm like, why? Yes, I do. You know,
and I know what it does.
Jamie has made me smart. You know, so it's just like, it's kind of funny, these conversations now. But the reality is I still have to figure out how to combine and make my master copy.
Your master and library.
Sure that I understand my flow so that I know where my master copies are and I know where my backup copies are.
Right. And what's on the iPhone is neither. You could drop your iPhone into the river.
Probably the least reliable space.
Right. Really, you drop your iPhone into the river.
It goes with us everywhere.
Right? Yeah. And that's why having the iCloud photo library turned on and having full resolution in the cloud is great, right? Because you can always buy a new phone, turn it back on, get everything back, and you've recovered from that disaster scenario.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I'm going to try it. I'm going to get myself dialed in before the next one. I'm going to be like, Jamie, my data, I know where it is.
So, quick question.
Are they quick?
Nothing. I told you, nothing in this conversation is a quick answer because there's just layers of complexity and decisions to be made and things to consider. Are you going to try to keep I want my favorite pictures on my phone so I can like show them to my friends when I'm out and about?
Of course.
Right.
And there's the favorites option, right? I mean, we all love
you put
that.
You put a little heart on it. It becomes a favorite. Yes. It shows up in your favorite album.
Yes.
Right. Are you then going to import? You're going to have them on the PC too, though, right? So they're in your master library, but they're also on your phone?
I think so, yeah. Because, right. You know, I like to, you know, make creative things with photos and, you know.
And the phone does memories now, and it makes slideshows for you based on your favorite memories and some really cool things you probably don't even know about yet on the iPhone photos area.
I was exploring. I saw some of that. Looks pretty cool.
So how are you in your master library on your PC? How are you going to keep things separated on?
I don't know.
Old. You already know the answer. You already know the questions.
No, I don't know.
You're thinking about this already, I mean, aren't you?
Files. It's just separate files, right?
How am I keeping everything that's archived versus my active library that I want to have on my phone all the time?
Yeah.
And I know that the active library on my phone is in the master library and active on my phone.
like a brain twister.
It's a little challenging.
Are you going to guide me through that?
We're going to talk about it next time because we're almost out of time. I am going to go ahead and turn the screw on you.
Okay. That
in the Apple world with my MacBook Pro, my iCloud Drive, and my iPhone iCloud Photo Library, I have all of my photos on all of my devices.
And they're already favorited, aren't they?
They're favorited.
Oh, my Lord.
And if I cared to clean it out and delete duplicates or delete multiple, like I took 6 copies to get the one good one, I could. I've probably got 5,000 memes I've just pulled off of Facebook because I thought they were funny or pertinent. Right? I mean, I've got 150 gigs of photos and videos in the cloud, 150 of gigs of photos and videos on my laptop because they're both not optimized. And then my phone and my iPad have optimized versions of those libraries, so they're only about 30 gigs because they're only representing my 150 gig library. And I don't have to do any of the work you're doing.
Okay.
I don't mean to salt the wound.
It is a little bit of salty.
It's a little salty.
There's some pepper in there too, I think, because it's burning.
But, and I'm not doing it because I'm against Android or I'm against Microsoft, but this is the advantage of the Apple universe when you join the whole universe, when you're apples to apples.
Yeah. I hear it.
Right?
One switching at a time, though.
And I'm more than happy to spend this time with you and talk about what it is and why it's complicated and what are the little tweaky points. And if you wanted to do it this way, how to do it. I do know how to do it. Mm-hmm. I just don't know why anybody would.
Gotcha.
Sorry, yeah. Did I say that out loud? I'm
yeah,
so sorry.
Yeah, it was kind of out loud. More salt.
But it comes back to what we just talked about is that you don't know what you don't know. You don't know what you're up against at certain times of this journey, of this process, right? I need a good phone. I want the right features. I want something that's going to work and not be complicated, mm-hmm. right? And unfortunately, money solves a lot of that. You throw money at it and we can like make it easier for you.
Yeah, sometimes.
you know, but this is the crux of it. This is the number one switcher issue, right? And it took us 5 episodes of like kind of, you know, fiddling around and talking about this and that, answering different questions or whatever. The iPhone is the number one digital camera on the planet. More photos were taken with iPhones than any other camera in the last 5 years. Nobody touches them. Mm-hmm. More photos and videos are taken with iPhones than any other. Digital cameras barely exist, and people don't buy Canon digital cameras anymore. They just don't exist. Mm-hmm. You know, they're out there. They exist, excuse me. But nobody, you know, your average person is buying them. Only your photography professionals are buying them. And it's because Apple's made this work. Mm-hmm. Right? And as I said right about halfway through this conversation, it already took me 20 minutes just to explain the apples to apples side of it.
Yeah.
And now another 20 minutes.
A lot to wrap your brain around with.
And another 20 minutes in, we've talked apples to oranges and we're only halfway through that.
Yeah.
Right. To really, really, because I mean, I've given you, and I'm going to say this right now, I've given you just enough information to be very dangerous. if you walk away from this conversation and go, I know enough, I'm going to start implementing, you'll probably screw it up. I hate to say
man,
it like that too.
You know me too well. You know I'm an implementer.
I know you're an implementer, but you're
it's
but
fair.
But it's again, it's not personal. It's everybody. It's anybody.
Yeah, it's true.
It's people that like tech. You like tech. You want to play with it. Nobody wants to spend this money and not do it, not use it, not go for it.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Yeah.
But I, one of the things I hope we've proven in this episode or this conversation is that it is complicated enough that if you try to do it by yourself, you're gonna cause damage. You're gonna make it worse. If you don't get some education around it, you're not making good decisions, right?
Yeah.
And you'll have to undo it. Or do it a second, third, fourth time, or you know, there's just layers of that, and yep. That is what makes switching hard. I mean, bottom line, that's why switching is hard,
yeah.
Right? It is that we think we know, or we can at least intuitively figure it out,
uh-huh.
But we do need help. We need somewhere to turn. And you hear me kind of harass Audrey about, like, she's part of my company and she has not watched any of my training videos. Right?
I haven't needed to yet.
We've had at least two things today that you didn't know that are in my first 4 hours of training. If you were to do my iPhone, iPad, all the basics, and my iPhone, iPad navigating apps class, right? When you were in settings and you're like, I don't see messages. And I had to say, look for the left pointing blue arrow at the top left because you're inside of general and you need to go back up a level to settings.
Yeah. You right? got that, me on that one. But now you said I can't go looking.
Well, you can. What I'd love is if you were to just go take that one first 2 hour class and then come back and report back to us. As much as you figured out already, did you learn enough in that class to really make it worth your time?
Yeah. Okay.
And if you'd be willing to, in the next episode or two, just go watch that 2 hour class. Even you can do it in 20 minute chunks, half hour chunks, watch it over a week or two or whatever time you have, but watch just the, all the basics class and come back and tell me, did you learn worthwhile stuff? Or, you know, was it like, okay, I'm already past that. Mm-hmm. Give me some feedback.
Okay. I will. Happy to.
Okay. Good.
I know I'll learn stuff. And then I'll be like, oh, no, that's not what
Is that what he was talking about? Yeah, you can correct me. Okay.
Be like, oh, it's the difference between this operating system and that operating system.
It might be a versioning issue. It's always a versioning issue. Any last questions for me this week, just to clarify what we did talk about?
I think if I even try to open that can of worms, it's just going to get shut down. So I am going to reserve my questions.
Okay, and you've got a list, and we'll pick this back up, and we'll go deeper into certain aspects of this topic next time around.
Yeah, sounds great.
Okay, I'm Jamie. Come visit us at royweiss.com. Audrey, as always, thank you for being such a good sport and really taking us through all of this stuff, because really, it's not easy. But it's fun.
I'm so glad that we're doing this.
Okay. Visit RoyWise.com. Go take some classes in the RoyWise Owls area, our on-demand web-based learning solution. And we will see you in the next episode of Switching from Android to Apple. Thanks.
Bye.
This episode of JMac Fixes Everything was brought to you by the Northbound Coffee Roasters. Head over to their website at northboundcoffee.com. And remember to use the coupon code ASKJMAC5 to get 15% off your first order. We want to thank Northbound for their sponsorship, and we hope you've enjoyed this episode. And we'll see you next time here at JMac Fixes Everything.